This morning, it's all in first verse, and Lord willing, will be for the next few weeks. Because when we come to what Paul says here, stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. Stand fast. This, therefore, takes in everything we have studied in our 12 lessons here in the book of Philippians. Therefore, stand fast in the Lord. And it's so much more than we can cover in one Sunday. And we're going to press on a few weeks in this. And we might cover two of them this morning with what we've come up with here in standing fast. In history, a name that you hear, maybe you have studied, is Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. And when he began his conquest of the great Persian Empire, and it took several years to do it, and the Persian Empire was massive, bigger than Alexander the Great's. Massive. And when it was told him that the Persians are like the sands of the sea, he said, "Oh, one butcher is not afraid of a whole flock of sheep or many flocks." And then Spurgeon, Spurgeon went on to say, "Let us as Christians be the same in our lives, because we're born again in Christ, and our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers and wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual warfare." So what Spurgeon then is addressing is what we address here. Stand firm in the Lord, Christian. For it is Christ who died for you, rose again for you, redeemed you, indwells you by his Spirit, leads you. You are Christ. You're no longer a vagabond and lost soul. You're now the property. You are now the purchase of Jesus Christ through his shed blood and indwelt by his Spirit. And therefore, he says, in all these matters, you remember when he says, beware of dogs, beware of religious leaders, beware of false teachers, beware of yourself, and press on in life, and knowing that in Christ it is he who keeps you. This text here, it expresses how we are to live as Christians. And I did have seven. And so, like I said, Lord willing, we'll press on in this. And the first this morning is stand fast. When he says stand firm, stand fast in the Lord first, stand fast in your faith in Christ. Stand fast in your faith. Faith where? Who? In Christ. People say, "Oh, well, I have my faith." Well, what's your faith in? Who's your faith in? If it's anybody other than Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Stand fast in the faith, firm in Jesus. Flip a couple of pages backwards to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which is the closing chapter of Paul's first letter to Corinth. In chapter 16 and in verse 13, and he is addressing the greatness of Christ's resurrection. And in chapter 15, in old death, where is your sting? And he's just going on. And he is preaching away here. And then thanks be to God who gives us our victory. And he just comes on over here in 13, verse 13. He says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." We're not swinging swords and slicing flesh as Alexander the Great did. That's just a whole nother. He says, stand firm in the faith. Faith. Be watchful. Paul is showing here, and as you would read through 1 Corinthians, and he is saying, don't put your faith and trust in any other thing or person. Not in any pastor, not in any evangelist, not in any apostle, not in any person, period. But your faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And your faith is in Jesus Christ. When did faith in Jesus Christ begin? The very moment as he opened your heart and you knew you needed a Savior. Your sins, which were many, like the sands of the sea. And in that moment, you cried out to Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Take my heart. Dwell in my heart. Give me your name that I may be, my name may be written in the book of life, like we just read here in chapter 4. If your name is not written in the book of life, you've lost it all. You meet many people in your life, including you've met me. You've met your Sunday school teachers. You've met great preachers and whatever. But if you, you know, and you've met Jesus Christ, hopefully, if you forget any man or any person, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus Christ and you turn him away, you've lost everything. Everything in your heart, your whole person will suffer horrendously forever in the lake of fire. You must be born again. That's when faith began. Stand firm in the faith. You didn't think your way into it. You didn't kind of study your way into it. Well, let's see what the dictionary says about faith. Okay, don't talk about God. No, it begins when you give your heart, life, and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. You confess your sins to him. When, as Romans says, when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Christ is the Lord, you shall be what? Saved. And there's no other way. Jesus said that. There's no other way. And so just whenever we find here, like in our last lesson on, we made a reference to in Job on last week and as well on Zoom. When they were coming at him about all the things of suffering in his life. And he says in Job, he says, well, what are you going to do to me? What can you really say to me? They were attacking him and attacking his faith, attacking this, attacking that. He had lost everything in his life, his family, everything, his health. He says, what are you going to do to me, seeing that the root of the matter is in me? And he's not referring to himself, his own strength, his own power, his own accomplishments, his own wealth, his own anything, but that his trust and belief in God, in Christ. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. This is way back in the Old Testament. And that one day my Redeemer will stand on this earth again. This is the root of the matter. He says, that is in me. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So he's saying here to the Christians in 1 Corinthians, he says, watch, Christians. Watch. Be careful. Be mindful. You're slumbering. You're slipping. You're getting careless. You're spiritually sliding. Watch. Stand firm. Seems to be a very common address that Paul makes to believers everywhere and resting in the Lord. And in the King James Version, some of you still use King James Version. Now, it says here in the King James Version, in these two verses, he says, stand firm. He says, quit you like men, be strong. Quit you like men, be strong. Now, dear church, and many times I have to address this with people. Don't get undone with old language. Quit you like men, be strong. You know, it's just old archaic language usage. Don't let it bother. Don't say that as a Christian, I can't understand what God's word is saying. Because as a Christian, you have the Spirit of God in you. And Jesus said, when I send him, he'll come and he'll guide you into all truth. So he's the one that opens up the scriptures. You and I can't understand the scriptures. We can't. It's the Spirit of God who opens them to us. Our mind can comprehend it. So when you find it, instead of saying, well, I don't understand this, instead say, ha, now wait. This is the Word of God. It is a living word. Lord, speak to me in your word. Holy Spirit, tell me, what do you mean here? Would you like men be strong? What do you mean? Just talk to him. And he'll tell you. Stand firm in the Lord. And so it conveys the idea of maturity. And Jesus addresses the hireling. You know, you have hireling, and if he's not a mature person, when the wolf comes, he runs. And here, maturity, it talks about strength, and a man is an adult. Okay, so it's maturity, it's the strength of a man. And addressing the valor, as we just finished studying the book of Judges. That took 100 years to get through. On Wednesday night, Zoom. And it's a fun journey. It's a good journey. We just finished it. And we still continue to want and have everybody on board. And in there, it talks many times over about, you know, so many thousands of soldiers. And these were men of valor. Men of courage. Men who were fearless. Men who were dauntless. Men who stood strong in the face of danger. Alexander the Great says, I don't care how many seas and beaches and how many miles of little pieces of sand. This doesn't matter. We press and we move forward. The Christian says, you know, though all hell's against me, well, what's it matter? I have Christ. Christ in me, my strength, my hope, my glory, my everything. I am his. He is mine. He's brought me to this. He'll see me right through on this. This is what he's talking about. And you know, and even though here now, the word men, it's used in the context that addresses both men and women. And so we find it only mature people are strong people. That's why we admonish one another. We help each other. We raise our children up in the Lord. And what happened here in Corinth, you know, and it's a seaport near Athens, and so many different doctrines and religions and cults and immoralities and you name it, whatever the flesh wanted was going on in Corinth. And so he just finds here, you know, what happens in these things, they were eroding the Christian's heart and mindset and the decline. And therefore, they did not even have the spiritual maturity to take care of the matters within the church. The problem's there. So he exhorts to them, you know, get back to where you were, because some of these actually even fell into devil worship. And some of these, you know, made such grave error in their choices and certainly to suffer loss for that, you know, even into eternity. And so stand fast, first of all, in the faith. And he tells him here, just like Paul told Timothy, stand firm in the faith. Fight a good fight of faith. Stand strong in the Lord. As you nourish your faith in Jesus Christ, how do you do that? You're constantly in the Word, meditating on the Word, as you go, where you go, what you do, singing wherever you go. You know, the Lord is in your heart and in prayer and meeting the battles, whatever's facing you. Christian, you know you're not alone. He said, I am with you always. So as we study there in Philippians 3:10, the power of his resurrection. So it is the power that brought again his own life, which he did. By his own power, he rose again from the dead. This is the power that works in you and I. He has defeated Satan and all his devils soundly. And Satan has no power in your life but what you give him. So you can face your situation dauntless. He says, stand. He didn't say rush. He just says stand. Stand. And let me deliver you. Your faith in Christ. Why do we as Christians so many times think that the problems we encounter or the hardships we have, we must, or we are, we do them alone? We might say a couple of quick little prayers, but no, a strong faith, a maturing faith, mature faith will stand firm. Jesus, I got a problem here. I need you. Whatever it may be, something from within, something without, something I did, something done to me, it doesn't matter. Bring it to the Lord. Quit you like men. That phrase appears twice, only twice in our King James Bible. And the other one was back in 1 Samuel 4, 1 to 11, when the Israelites were coming upon the Philistines. Now, it's used in the opposite camp. Because when the Israelites, you know, where they were preparing in the battle, and the Israelites lost out on the first skirmish, about 4,000 men. And they said, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into our camp so that we may win. Will we be victorious? Bring the Ark of the Covenant. And there it is. And so, which on the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah of glory dwelt there. Bring it in. But once again, then there's a great shout, and the Philistine says, what is this? And the word came, oh, they got the Ark of the Covenant, brought it into their camp. Oh, we are done now. And instead, the word came, quit you like men, be strong. And they defeated the Israelites. Because the Israelites were calling upon the Ark, not upon God, to deliver us. And our strength is in the name of the Lord. You have Jesus living in you so closely. And yet you put dependence on this person and that thing, and yet he's right here. And we do not call upon his name and humble ourselves before him and obey him in whatever he tells me to do, in whatever relationship it may be, whatever the matter may be, husband, wife, parent, child, boss, employee, it doesn't matter. Two sisters in the church, two brothers in the church. We bring it to the Lord. We stand firm because whoever you're having a disagreement with, your battle's not with that person. Because we got to know that the old devil is at work here and our old selfish flesh is at work here. So the spiritual man says, let us rise to the occasion and seek to reconcile, seek to bring truth here. Let truth would rule whatever the matter may be. Standing firm in the faith. Firm, steadfast. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch. Stand firm. Quit you like men. Be strong. And in the face of our culture, where so much is happening, and now the rise of the battle for the unborn. Whoa, we got a hot one now. As you pray in voice and press forward in leading to the glory and to the praise of Christ and for the good of humanity. Quit you like men, be strong. Be strong. And a lot of these little discussions will happen right within your families. Or your peers, your workers, your co-workers, and have you. Be strong in the Lord. Secondly, he says, stand fast in Christian liberty. Christian liberty. Stand fast in your faith in Jesus Christ. And then, therefore, stand fast in Christian liberty. Galatians 5:1. For freedom. For freedom. Christ has set us free. Why did he set us free? For freedom. And stand firm, therefore. And do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, to put it in plain language. It is for freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sins, freedom from oppression, freedom from yourself, freedom. Freedom in the Lord. You know, the church is the great witness to this freedom. The church. Who's the church? Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ are the church. You and I, brothers and sisters, the born again, the church, the great witness. And certainly that it was to set men free that our Master, the Lord Christ, came, lived, died, rose again. Christ, Christ alone, stand firm in the liberty in which he has made us free. Liberty from yourself. Don't trust in human wisdom and in your own powers, but trust only and stand firm in the liberty that he has made us free. He is the one who has set free the conscience. He set free our intellect. How did he set your conscience free? Because he forgave you of your sins. It's gone. Your intellect, all your matters, your mistakes, your failures. You know, the Word of God tells us of Christ setting men free from the very beginning of the Scriptures. As we study our Bibles right on through. And one of the largest and first things we will probably think of is when he set his people free from Egypt. He sets us free. The very example of him setting people free happened right in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, when God slew the lamb and used that lamb's blood as the very, very salvation for Adam and Eve. Life was given so that these two may live. Had God not done that, they're dead, dead, dead. And we wouldn't be in here this morning, and Adam and Eve would be in hell. But he slew the lamb. He is ours. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary shed his blood for us. His blood shed for our redemption. His blood shed as the purchase for our redemption. He paid the price. He is the Lord. And what happens there? He paid the price to set us free from death and sin, damnation, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and that whoever looks to him shall be saved. And you see it in examples all the way through the Scriptures in every book. It's always about Jesus and the redemption of mankind. And you come even then to the finality, but he redeems us and calls us home. And then in his judgments, he wipes it out. Death and sin gone forever. Precious is the name of the Lord. You know, and our freedom is a perfect freedom. But so many times we as Christians, we join ourselves to shameful things and activities. But yet, in spite of all that, we see many failures in the Christian life. But in spite of all of that, it is the church is the great witness to the liberty that we have in Christ. He has set us free. People watch you. Your peers watch you. Your kids watch you. Your grandchildren, they watch you. Your neighbors watch you. You watch them. And we see the evidence of Christ. Liberty from what? First, a liberty from the past. Christian, don't drag around the stuff from the past that Christ has forgiven you and set you free, because as the Scriptures have said, he has tossed it behind his back. He has cast it into the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The liberty from the past. And we all have things that we look back in our past. And some of these things, you know, there are things that are just not good. And some of these things bring us great shame. Even now, as we deeply regret, That's part of the wage. Because there's some things that just cannot go away. But you have the victory over letting it control you. And there's where the joy of Jesus comes in. Okay, devil, I know. And that hurt has gone down through my family. It's gone down through my friends. That hurt. Part of this beautiful people, the church I used to attend. I know that. But here what I do know is even greater, that Christ has forgiven me. And many of these people have forgiven me. My family has forgiven me. But if they haven't, Christ has forgiven me. And he doesn't even remember it anymore. So why don't you go back to hell where you belong? I'm standing free in Christ. Forgetting the past. And Paul says that in chapter 3 of Philippians. Forget the past. Forgetting which those things which are behind. Paul? Well, he led a slaughterhouse, didn't he? Against Christians, against the church. And Philip was the first one. And so, we find, see, he speaks with authority, experience. And you know, in Paul's life, he was dauntless. You know, Paul was just a little guy. He wasn't something that was 6'9", 325 pounds, and, you know, just rippling, bulging, and his presence just moused you down. That wasn't Paul. It is said that Paul was a pretty scrunchy little fella. But he belonged to a big God. His strength and his faith, dauntless, he said, it's not in me. It's Christ. Liberty from your past. And so to meet everything that you and I have done, experienced, and all this and that, we have the cross. The cross. Christ died on Calvary's cross with all our sins laid upon him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. So it is Christ who has set us free. You know, it is the beauty of Jesus, you know, that work upon Calvary, as the scripture says, wherewith Christ has made us free. You don't only have liberty from the past, you got liberty from the present. Liberty from the present. As the Lord says, you know, I've received Christ, I am pardoned, and I'm happy. How many are happy that you're a Christian? Yeah. Even if some days it's, but you're happy. And the joy, that's from the Lord. And the world cannot take that away. Amen. No, sin cannot take that away from me. No matter what I do, nothing can take that away from me because it is Christ in me. It is the joy of his presence, the joy of his peace, the joy of his forgiveness. It is Christ, and I stand as a liberated man in Christ. Not in anything that I have done. But I say so humbly, but so strongly, so firmly, no matter what I stand. And whatever is happening around me in the world, it does not strike me in any kind of fear and burden, because I know who's in charge. I know who is the Lord. And I know, as I pray over my little grandchildren as well as my children, as we pray over them, and the Lord is leading them. They have them born in such a time as this. And he speaks to parents and grandparents, speaking wisdom and guidance and direction into your life. And you stand as Christians, as a liberated person in the Lord. You're his in Christ. He is the great liberator. The great liberator, as we find it, that's in Philippians 3:10. The power of his resurrection, that I may know it. Okay, that gets really personal. Power over me, your flesh, my desires, my wants. Your flesh will battle you, Christian, till the day you die, till the day God calls you home. It's a battle. And sometimes it gets to be a real hellish battle, because hell's coming at you. The flesh screams, the world lures, and it's a battle till you go home. Christ, who's with you always, and in Christ you stand. In his blood you are forgiven. You are covered in his righteousness. He is your shield, your protector, your rock, your presence, your high tower, your everything, the one who intercedes for you and defends you at the throne when Satan comes accusing you. It is Christ from past, from present. No fear of your future. You stand liberated in Christ in your future. My future. My future from today and right on through in this world. My future, no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, no matter what happens, it's just so horrible that it seeks to rip my soul to pieces, no matter what the loss may be. No matter what happens in the world and we lose all our blessed freedoms that we have here. Nothing, it doesn't matter whatever it is. I am standing free in liberty in everything that happens to me in the future of my life. And then when it comes to my moment to go home, to be with the Lord, there's no fear. Why? Because Jesus Christ has entered the grave. He died and went to the grave, and he put a door through the other end of it and took us to glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there's no fear. When it comes to my dying day or a dying moment when I know I'm about ready to get smashed with an 18-wheeler or something or whatever it might be, or I get a phone call from the doctor, he says, can't do anything more. Or you come to a ripe old age, as the Word of God says, like a shock of corn in full age and maturity. Oh, dear God, 91 years, 90 years, 64 years has been a good life. I'm coming home. It's a glory ride. The whole way through. And I know that when I in Christ here, the world can't take away what Christ has given me. The world can't take it away. And when I stand before the Lord, when I stand on that crystal sea, stand before his throne surrounded in his majesty, stand with him face to face, and he will embrace and welcome me home. And then you know what he'll do? He'll just kind of like turn me around, Christian. And he just kind of comes over your shoulder and he points, there's your loved one, there's this one, there's that one. Look over there, what I have prepared for you in glory. And you know, and here's some of these great old saints of the past. Say, Paul, come here. Well, he didn't even have to say it because we have perfect minds. And Paul knew he was being talked about. And he looks over at Jesus. Come here. And, it's just beautiful. It's because what the Lord has prepared for us. The door of death is the entrance into. It's not the end. It's the entrance into a fantastic glory. As this song says, whether the Lord comes for us at the church in the rapture or I walk the veil with him. Glory to his name, I keep it, the past, the present, the future. What a liberty. Paul says, stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. Fast in the faith in Jesus Christ. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free. Sin only has power over me. If I permit it, let it not in your heart. Oh, Jesus, how deeply he loves us that he would die for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, enemies, aliens of God, and made us and calls us his sons and daughters by grace through faith. Through faith. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And he is your rock for life, no matter what. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He's the Lord. So in the midst of tears, heartaches and brokenness, sorrows, Jesus is with me to the very end. In the high and in the low, I sing wherever I go. He gives me the song. Philippians 4:1. Do some work on it yourself. Just get a concordance. Stand fast in what? Look it up. You're students of the Bible. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Stand firm. All right? Amen? Stand in. and stand firm. You don't need a seat to hold on to. Just stand there. Right? The Lord. Oh, Lord God, we love you. We praise you. We stand in Christ. We stand in Christ. We walk in Christ. We lie down in Christ. We rise in Christ. We labor in Christ. We rejoice in Christ. Rejoicing always in Christ. Rejoicing and loving. And we have the best always yet to come. The world can't take anything away from us. The flesh is at the command of the spiritual man. And let it be so. And we know that when we leave here, oh dear God Almighty, what you have prepared for us, woo my. And the best thing of all, Jesus will be there, and the old rotten flesh will be gone. We'll have new bodies. A whole new life has now begun. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the Bible, for this word. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my dearly beloved, stand firm. Stand firm. Standing in Christ. Lord, we praise you, we bless you. In Christ's holy name we pray, and together we say, amen, church.